I'm now joined with Councillor Donna Cooney from Green Party to talk about some bird species who haven't bred on Bull Island in a long time and are now back. The benefits of cycling now that COVID-19 restriction is extended to 5k from home. Dublin Park's now reserved for the over 70s and those medically vulnerable, and the need for post-COVID-19 to be green. Good afternoon, Donna, and thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, and thanks for having me on again.
You're most welcome. First of all, Donna, tell us about the birds who have returned to Bull Island after so long time.
Yes, it's really amazing. I'm absolutely delighted. I was contacted by Birdwatch to let me know, and the signs were up on Bull Island asking people to be careful. And yeah, some of these birds haven't nested. They're ground nesting birds, and they haven't been nesting on Bull Island for a long time. So it seems as though nature is recovering, whether it is the fact that there aren't as many dogs in there, as not as many people, and no cars. But whatever reason, they haven't been disturbed, and they've come back. So, you know, we haven't done a full survey as yet, but we've got the skylark, and everybody knows the beautiful song of the skylark. So that's nesting. There's also the ringed plover are back nesting as well. But just people need to be really cautious now, because and not have any dogs off leads, because they're not only in the dunes, it's some of them have been seen nesting on the beach as well. So just to be extra careful, because these are a protected species, and you know, they really, really do need, you know, you're on a very special place when you're on Bull Island. You know, you're not just on any old beach. It's a biosphere, and it's a bird sanctuary. And just to be cautious that we're all sharing that space, and we can enjoy it. But we really need to protect those birds, because this is really special.
Okay, and I suppose the biggest and most important issue is to keep your dog on a leash.
If you have any doubt that if your dog gets off a leash or something, just don't take them. You can take your dog and walk your dog at the park. St. Anne's Park is close by. There's an actual area in St. Anne's Park where you can let your dogs. There's a small dog area and a large dog area, enclosed space, where it's safe to let your dog run about and socialise with other dogs. And that's the place to do it if you want to let your dog off the lead. And a special bird sanctuary is not the place to let your dog off a lead, you know. So, okay. Just to be conscious. I mean, I'm a dog lover myself. But it's about, you know, if you love your dog, you should love all animals, and just to protect these, you know, particularly vulnerable, because it could be, you know, it could be an ecological trap in a sense, because, you know, they can't leave their nest. So they're very, very vulnerable at this point. So it's really, really important that you don't let your dogs go anywhere near them. Okay. And obviously, no trampling about on the dunes either. You know, if you do walk off, the paths, try and stay on the well-worn paths and tread carefully.
Is there any possibility if, for example, a third or so of the island be fenced off, you know, from people and dogs?
One of the options, and I did put a motion to Dublin City Council on this, but we're basically doing a whole new Bull Island management plan. Surveys are being done now, first of all, because we need to actually know exactly what species are there, what flora and fauna we have, so that we can keep an eye on the numbers and check to see that they're being protected, see if, you know, numbers are increasing or diminishing. So that's first of all, that needs to be done. And so the experts are working away at that. And we have agreement then that there will be two councillors then, myself and Deirdre Heaney, they're going to be on that part of that consultation process to set up this new management plan as well. So, yeah, so that's happening, and that's really needed. I had suggested a fenced off area, possible thing, but we need really to know if that's the best option. Like, I could be thinking that's the best option, and somebody else could say, well, you know, dogs can still get underneath the whatever fencing, you know what I mean, that you have, or yes, yes, whatever. So it may be that they might decide that this is a good option or it's not a good option. So I just have to keep my, you know, it's a possibility, but, you know, I wait and see what the management plan says as to whether I just want to protect as many species as possible. So I would just wait and see which is the best best way to do that. And I listen to the experts, you know, on that.
Yes, of course. And could the reason for these birds returning also be due to less pollution, not only from less people around?
Yeah, well, it seems as though, everybody's remarking on the fact that, you know, nature seems to be thriving, you know, so everybody's remarking on the fact that the birds, but perhaps it's just that we can't hear it with less, you know, we can hear them better because there's less traffic about. So that could be part of the reason, but it seems to see, you know, people are taking, you know, videos and of wildlife around urban areas. And so maybe it's the rest of human activity has given them space. Maybe it's the fact that we can see them because the streets are emptier. So a combination, I suppose this is all something that's going to be studied afterwards. But I mean, air pollution definitely, you know, it's bad for our health. So I assume it's bad for any other animal's health. So, you know, that had to be something. And I suppose that brings us on to where do we go to now? People have been enjoying walking along the causeway. In fact, I'm only able to go to it now because it was outside my 2 kilometres, but I can now cycle down to the causeway and enjoy that. And everybody's going, they want to keep it like that because it's, you know, it's, it means people can't physically distance. We're going to have to physically distance from people that are outside our own household groupings for a considerable time to come. And the causeway is giving people, you know, space to do that. And people are walking and cycling down there and, you know, children chalking on the ground. And it's, you know, I've been seeing the photographs and it looks a joy to see, you know. So I do think that we're, you know, we should look at some of what, you know, what good things that we've experienced, you know, from the crisis that has been the COVID crisis, and look at maintaining some of those into the future. And Dublin City Council have been putting in all sorts of temporary measures to facilitate more physical distancing by reallocating road space, by closing car parks, widening the pavements, putting in, you know, temporary cycleways. And contraflow cycleways. So I think, you know, this is something, and this is going to be continue on for some time now. So I think it's something we really need to look at. Perhaps a lot of these could be kept and maintained, you know, into the future, or at least some adaptation of them, some form of adaptation of them. A lot of cities around the world, there's actually over 60 cities around the world that have put in extra space, reallocated road space to cycling and walking. And there's been an absolute boom in cycling throughout the world. It's actually quite amazing to see. One of my other roles being a councillor is I'm a bicycle mayor, which is sort of a cycling advocate for Dublin. And so I'm in touch with other bicycle mayors around the world, and it's just fascinating to see what's happening. I mean, places in Scotland, it's gone up 200%, New York 60%, like in Paris, I was listening to the Deputy Lord Mayor of Paris the other day, and what they're doing over there is just amazing. You know, they're doing all loads of cycling courses, they're giving out bicycles to people that can't afford bicycles. They found that it's really, really people, the more and more people are seeing that the bicycle is a real tool for resilience, as it was back in, I suppose, in the last pandemic in the Spanish influenza in 1918. They found that the bicycle was a real resilient tool for resilience then, and it's proving to be now in this century as a real tool, because you're out in the fresh air, you're able to keep physical distance from people, you can move about, it's good for exercise, it's good as people start to return to some workplaces. And it's been people, in fact, some of the hired bicycle companies have given out free bicycles to those frontline workers that are getting, it's a safe mode for them to be able to get to and from work on a bicycle. I just think, you know, that, and maybe combined with people that are further distance, you may perhaps, you know, e-bicycles, electric bicycles, if the distance is too far. But I just really think that there's something of a cycling revolution happening worldwide. Milan have put in huge amounts of cycling infrastructure. You look at Peru. I don't know. I was like, I probably don't have the figure off the top of my head, but you're talking about I think they were talking about 100 kilometres or something of cycling infrastructure. I was like, you know, so they seem to be able to do these things overnight. But it's just, you know, it's actually fascinating. Already in Dublin, something that we were waiting for 30 years was a contraflow on Nassau Street, and Trinity College were looking for it, and other various groups who were looking for this on Nassau Street for a long time, and the Dublin Cycling Campaign. And it literally, you know, was able to go in, like on Monday, it was able to go in overnight, and they're going to, that's in two phases, and they'll continue that up into Suffolk Street in the next phase. So it's up to Kildare Street and then up to Suffolk Street. And such a difference that makes.
Actually, I wanted to ask you, children, I mean, they love cycling, and the better road with less traffic, you know, has enabled them to cycle on the road more often. On one side of the coin, though, we believe the 5 kilometre extension is great. But on the other side is an increase in road traffic, you know, and with the construction industry opening up on the 18th next, we'll have more trucks and vans on the road.
That's why it's really important that we segregate off the areas so that people continue to be able to get out and about and exercise within their 5 kilometre zones. It really opens up with the 5 kilometres for a lot of people, you know, to be able to get to nice places on their bicycles and get some exercise in and some fresh air. And that's also so very good for our well-being. But also, you know, there's a lot of these people that are going to working in the construction industry. They also cycle, you know, to work. So, you know, so it's about the bicycle as being, you know, but also something that you use as a commuting to work. And as children will go back to school in September, now is the time to make sure that that they are competent and good on their bicycles, and that we have the safe routes to school, having more school streets where we actually have no cars on the streets where schools are. There was a project out in where they did this in Malahide, and I just I've applied for schools in my area, but you know, people can apply for that school streets. It's under a better project under Dublin City Council, and they are looking for schools to get involved in this and roll it out on a phase basis across the city. So they're looking for a few pilot schools, people that are really enthusiastic about doing it in their school. And there obviously there needs to be some buy-in from, you know, the residents on the road. They need to agree to that it'll be residents only parking. There'll be a time where they, you know, where there won't be any cars on the road. So, you know, so it does need to be thought out and done well, but I think it really makes a difference. Yes. Not only to like having fresh air and, you know, non-polluted areas where people cycle, it just makes it safe as well for people to cycle to school. So that and bringing in some good cycling training. I did see in the, I think it was in the journal and something else where they had tips on to how to be safe cycling on the road. And I did the train the trainer, the rocket socket, with a group of parents in our school, you know. So and we did it over like all last year, where we I was working with the junior infants and the senior infants in learning various skills, you know, how to balance hand out, so they do through fun and games. So, and they got rewards. So maybe this is a time now for parents to take the children out, because we do have empty car parks, Clontarf Promenade, all around the place. The Dublin City, you know, off street car parks have been closed down. So you could maybe use that space to, you know, go around in a circle and learn a couple of skills. People are back on their bicycles, and it's great. I've actually seen people, and it's pretty obvious that they haven't been on their bike for years and years, and they've, you know, dusted it out or managed to get themselves a secondhand bicycle, and they're out there on their bikes, and you can tell because they're slightly wobbly, and they're, you know, they're getting their back onto their bikes. But I just think it's brilliant to see. You know, I've seen people that thought they'd never get onto a bike. You know, I've even seen people out that maybe do have problems with bands, they might be older, and they've gone out on tricycles, large adult tricycles, and it's just a great way to get out and see the world and commute.
Absolutely, Donna. And just before we finish up on the cycling issue, just tell us, has the Greenway between Baldoyle and Portmarnock, is it yet completed?
So that's open, you know, so all these things are happening, you know, that at the moment I can't get out to enjoy, but really want to go along. A lot of that Greenway is ready, it's open. There's other Greenways that are going to be coming on stream along the Royal Canal as well, as part section of that's continuing on. We're to get a presentation. There's been a little delay on the Clontarf to City cycleway, but we are getting a presentation of that. That's due to start, I think, now. In maybe some of the infrastructure is a bit delayed, but we're due to get a presentation on the 2nd of June. And things are happening. What would be really good would be to have a sort of a whole network of infrastructure, to have the Greater Dublin Cycleway eventually, you know, have that actually put in place as soon as possible. And I think the fact that we have so many more people cycling now really means that there's an impetus there to complete this and to really put the time and resources into it. And I suppose what we're really looking for is you with the European Green Deal, there's possibly going to be funding there to put in infrastructure. And this definitely ties in with all our commitments under climate action as well. So in terms of emission reductions, in terms of our commitments to the World Health Organization on air pollution. So, Dublin City have already signed up to that. I think we were one of the first cities to sign up to that. So it's really sort of the cycling is a great solution for all of these. And I do think we'd be able to get if we don't have the funding ourselves, we would be able to get some sort of funding. The European Greens are working at a level to look at bonds that can be made available for us to put in infrastructure, particularly, you know, infrastructure that will bring about reductions in our carbon emissions. So we should really be putting in a whole frame of a network of safe cycling routes that are segregated from other traffic. And generally speaking, I would hope that there's going to be a reduction in numbers. I mean, as it turns out, people are really only supposed to be still making essential journeys. You're not supposed to be driving and then going off for a walk at the end of that, you know. So you can go and get your shopping and then as well there's a whole thing about trying to get, a lot of people have got used to getting their shopping maybe delivered now and things like that as well. So there's definitely a strong argument now to at least reduce the amount of journeys that we need to take in a car, and people have got used to that. We've been living through, you know, and it's been really difficult for a lot of people and people cocooning. And in fact, now from today, people can get out into the parks for a time slot where anybody that has been cocooning, the parks will be reserved for their use only.
Sorry for interrupting. Just tell us a bit more about that. What time of day is reserved for the over 70s? And
at the moment, it's 1:30 to 3:30. That's open to revision. We've had some feedback from that. In fact, the time, I don't know how they decided on the time. So I actually, yesterday, I only found out about the time and the whole thing from the press release that went out. And obviously, I think it's a really positive idea. It was sort of led really by Dunleary Rathdown County Council. And the time, I don't know if that was in consultation with people, you know, who are obviously most affected, who this, you know, which is people that have been cocooning, or whether it was thought that this was a good time. But I have had some feedback to say that from people to ask, you know, could that be revised? So I go to our head of parks, who is going to talk with the representatives of those that are cocooning, to find out if another time would suit them just as well, like from 11 to 1, say, or,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Or maybe later in the afternoon, because people are saying that the lunchtime hour is a time where people that are working from home often like to take their exercises in their local park, or that people with children after they've been homeschooled in the morning like to head out after lunch about 2 o'clock. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it's, we want to prioritise those that have been really 6 to 8 weeks, you know, in their own homes and haven't been able to get out, and they're the priority. But if it's, you know, if the feedback comes back from them that the time is even more suitable from 11 to 1, we'll hopefully we'll be able to adapt that. But the main thing is that there is going to be a time. At the present, the time today is from 1:30 to 3:30.
Okay. Does this mean anyone outside of this category, you know, are not permitted to enter?
They're being asked. I don't know how this is going to be actually policed, but people are just being asked to consider it. You know, I mean, everybody can't be approached. I mean, you can't tell often, I mean, I see people over 70 now and you think they could be 50, you know, and or younger. So and then there's people that have had health health conditions, underlying health conditions that have had to cocoon. So how you can tell whether it's something, it's just really to ask people to be considerate and conscious that, you know, people still really, they need to be extra careful, you know, because they're more vulnerable if they do coronavirus, COVID-19. So they need to be really, really extra careful. So just to allow them to get out without the stress of having to negotiate and find space, you know, with keeping the 2 meters distance. So it's, I suppose it's just about being considerate. They have really done, you know, tremendously to staying inside and staying indoors. And because had they got ill, they would have been, the most likely to end up in intensive care. And we just didn't have the facilities in our hospitals to deal with that. So, you know, they've benefited us all by protecting themselves, you know, obviously personally they benefit us, there are family members and there are loved ones, but they've also protected the whole community by not becoming ill, because our resources couldn't have been able to cope with it.
Right, so Donna, we're going to have to leave it at that because time is actually caught up on us. We're on the button here. We were to talk about the need for post-COVID-19 to be green, and maybe we can talk about that some other time. So again, Donna, thanks very much for joining us today, and all the very best to you, and take care.
You too, and stay well.
Thank you. Now, that was Councillor Donna Cooney, Green Party, talking about the return of some bird species to Bull Island, reserved schedule for the over 70s and those medically vulnerable at Dublin Parks, and also about some cycling issues.